Welcome back in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show on our national hour. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. It's Off the Rails Friday, which can only mean one thing. Doug McLean will join us in a few minutes to completely drive it in the ditch. Just prior to coming on air, Gord Stellick here, Sammy McKee. You asked me how Doug is doing, but you really sounded concerned.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, he likes to stay involved. You know, we all like to stay involved.
How's Doug?
Yeah, true. I did say it that way.
You really did.
Yeah. Is he in a home?
We're going to find out really soon.
Good.
Because in all honesty, I haven't got a clue. Like, he could be the happiest guy, or he could show up in a minute with the biggest chip on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah. He enters a room, you kind of know, right? You know, what his frame of mind is.
I think he's got potentially another book maybe coming. I don't know. Which is scary, because that means...
What can he milk out of anymore?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know what he could milk.
Working with Jack Armstrong? That's where it started. Remember where they did that show? What was it called again? What was the show called?
Pucks and Balls, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know what it was called.
What? No, but it was... But they
what
did
are you guys going on?
They did a show.
We're going to find out.
That's his start on The Fan, as far as a regular host was, whatever that show was called.
Yeah, and we have to ask him about his level of concern for the Edmonton Oilers. 5 losses. Closer game last night in Florida.
Better,
but not good enough.
Yeah. No, and they Knobloch called them a fragile team. I wouldn't have said that last night. But yeah, they're off. And what a, you know, you go the one time you go, tough teams though, they're playing, but still, you want to put up a better showing when you're the Stanley, one win away from the Stanley Cup against those kind of teams that you might be playing if you go that deep.
I feel lucky as a Leaf fan to sit here and say that, you know, haven't said this in years past, but watching Stuart Skinner right now makes me very thankful for Anthony Stolarz and Joseph Woll. Stuart Skinner, I think he
made some good saves last night.
He does. It's not so much of saves that he's made, or it's just bad body language. Looks like he's expecting to be beat on a lot of them. The Schmidt, which I think was that ended with the winner, or no, maybe not the winner, but
the Carter Verhaeghe.
The Verhaeghe one, the Schmidt one. I just
the Verhaeghe one bothered me because it's a 1-on-2.
Shouldn't go in.
And it just shouldn't go in.
So how about the Draisaitl goal?
Oh my God.
Wow. I mean, he's playing phenomenal right now.
It tells you that, like, still a team very dependent on 97 and 29.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon is as good as ever. Yes, there's a drop-off on McDavid. And the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm going, that guy has hit a wall here. And I think if you look back at his last month, including not just the Four Nations.
Before.
Mm-hmm. And the amount of responsibility that they put on his shoulders to promote the Four Nations.
Yeah.
And I'm watching him do every interview and then go back to Gene and push.
Yeah.
And it's like, what did we do to him?
Well, he embraced it.
I know he embraced it, but he's tired, Gord. And then we make him play Thursday night, and then we tell him Friday, jump on a plane and go play at 1:00.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he hated that Thursday night game, Kipper.
Like, no.
I'm sure.
It's the turnaround,
yes,
Sam.
That sucks.
Okay.
For sure. But, like, he loved the turnaround. He played for Canada. He was one of the main guys fighting for it.
That's great.
Yeah, but right
but
now, I get
to go
it.
Back to him and
for
say
sure.
On Saturday and Sunday, you got to play at 1 p.m.
For sure.
Okay, so let's get some blood out of a stone right now.
That was crazy scheduling. I don't know how the hell they ever thought that that was okay.
Okay, from one of the craziest schedules in hockey history to one that really has no schedule, zero schedule. Let's throw it to Doug McLean, president, former this, that, and author.
How's Gord?
You know what? Gord just asked, how are you? He said it with some concern.
Are you still working, Gord? Or what are you doing? I haven't heard from you. The only time I ever hear you is with Bruce Boudreau. You guys still have the show together?
We got to get you on again. I will say, when Doug comes on, it tends to rattle cages. we're in a partnership with the NHL, and Doug tends to rattle.
Is your new show called The Sheet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what was your show called with Jack Armstrong? What was that called?
Are you kidding me?
No, that was
what was it?
Game time.
Game time.
Okay, I was in close with pucks and balls.
It's funny you said that, because Jill and Dina are at the golf tournament in West Palm today at the used to be the Honda Classic. Now it's called the Cognizant or something.
So you Jack's bride and your bride are still friends?
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Well, I got Jack to buy a place in Delray, so they're neighbors of ours. Well, George McPhee's just a 2-minute walk from me, and Ron Hextall's just down the street, and Dale Talon's here, and of course Jeff Rimmer's here. You know, he's trying to hang out with all of us. He's one of the boys. He's trying to be one of the boys.
You're making sure that doesn't happen.
So, do you guys send group texts that don't include him, and then as he walks by, you duck or anything? Is that what it's like?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, is he a pain in the ass?
You guys are like the Tkachuk brothers, texting each other before the game, and you know, making
group
sure
chats,
group chats,
starting fights, starting arguments.
Sorry to interrupt, but the show wasn't called Game Time, Doug. It was called The Game Plan.
Oh, that's how memorable it was for me.
Very memorable.
Yeah. Very memorable.
Okay,
one of the highlights of my career.
I'm going to draw on your general manager and president expertise here.
Oh my God. Is Braden Schenn the next Connor McDavid or what? Listening to you guys a little earlier, I'm thinking, have they watched him play lately? Oh my God.
Anyway. So you want to start there with centers potentially available, and
I look at Braden Schenn and Lachlan. Lachlan?
Lawton.
They're both NHL, right? They're fours. Right now, if you've watched them in the last month and a half, they have not been very good. So it reminded me when you were talking. I remember in Florida, we went to the Stanley Cup the first year. Then the next year, we had a good team and we brought in Kirk Muller. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to put us over the top. Kirk is going to, you know, and you know what? It hurt our team. So you got to be careful when you're making these type of moves.
Kurt's behind the bench of Washington right now, and if he's watching it, derailed his season now.
Hey, listen. No, look, the most fun I've ever had in my life was going to a bar with Kirk Muller and Doug Gettler. The most fun I've ever had in my life. And I was their coach, their assistant. I had Gilmore in St. Louis, and I had Kirk in Florida. And it was the best night of my life. I mean, bar none. But I love Kirk Muller as a player. He just wasn't the right fit for our team at that time.
And you know, Doug,
nothing against Kirk.
There's another variable that you bring up with this trade deadline about these sexy names that really, if you're really watching them, are no longer sexy. And you know, you still have some that they have a soft spot. And so then whatever Braden Schenn's value is, Doug Armstrong loves it being talked up, right? You know, it's going to take a boatload, and media experts going to take this, that, whatever. That's a real danger about, you know, just assessing what you're getting in 2025.
And what's his term and what's his dollars right now?
Six and a half with, I believe, three left. I got to double check. Sammy, let me know.
That's correct.
And you guys are seriously,
this year next.
Seriously, you're actually considering this?
You know, but when you talk about not just the Toronto Maple Leafs, but any market right now, and I'll include the Edmonton Oilers, on this is the year. This has to happen now. How do you weigh, as a general manager, the difference between doing something and not doing something, just sometimes for the sake alleviating the pressure?
Then let's talk Ratnan then. Let's talk about him. He's 27 years of age, and he's a star.
In his prime.
He's 27. He's still in his prime. He hasn't had a good run in Carolina, but how good was he in Colorado? just before he was traded. So you're the one that brought his name up that he was going to be available.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're still going to take a run at signing him, but
oh, sure they are.
Do you like their chances of signing him?
It doesn't sound like he's doing, you know, he's not. He doesn't sound like he's that excited to be in Cary, North Carolina, by the sounds of it. I mean, he's not. I mean. Number one, how do you make this deal and not be sure you can get him signed? I know the guy's a genius in Carolina, the GM there. I know he is, but this is a tough deal to make and not have this guy guaranteed that he's going to sign or have rights to talk to him prior to that and be close to having a deal done. And all of a sudden, he's going to go to the wire with a guy like this and not get him signed? This could set Carolina back, who, by the way, aren't playing very well right now, too. They don't need another hit to their team.
Would Rantanen be holding up a few things right now with other teams trying to figure it out? And would they run the risk of waiting too long and missing out on some other things?
Well, that's the problem. And, Guy, you like to get things done early. I mean, Jimmy Rutherford's always said that for Berkey's always said that, you try to get things done early, especially if you are a contender, especially when the Leafs are a contender. By the way, I watched Tampa the other night and I thought Tampa is going to struggle. And I watched Tampa the other night and all of a sudden Tampa looked really good. They're not going to be easy in the playoffs, guys. And we know there's a lot of teams playing pretty well right now, but you got him to me bringing in, I know the Leafs want a third line center. I get that, but I'm certainly not tying up 3 or 4 years at that kind of money. I'm not doing that.
So on the flip side, being a seller, and you mentioned Tampa. So I'll talk about Stamkos, like all those players that went to Nashville or when you're Seattle, it ain't happening there. Chicago, we know about Seth Jones. Like, would you say, hey, I'm going to go get Stamkos, so I'm going to get Marchessault, so I'm going to get Shea, whatever. Maybe they'll eat part of it. I mean, or do you think Barry Trotz is going to say, you know what, this is a team that we're going to hold firm a bit and go at it again next year? Like, what do you think those potentially seller teams are thinking?
Well, what bothered me with the Trotz deal, and I said it on this show months ago, Trotzy, they lost their identity with those acquisitions. Their identity since day one as a franchise was one of the hardest working teams in the league, and they lost their identity. They became too cute and played that way for most of the year. So, I mean, I think they've got to get back to what made them a hard team to play against. And they certainly have. I mean, they have been in spots, but not so much, but I the trade deadline, you can do some damage to your team too, and you can become slower, which when I talked about Kirk, that's what happened to our team. We became a slower team. You got to be careful in today's game if you're going to add a Braden Schenn and it makes you slower as a team. And a guy with 12 goals. Isn't that what he's got, 12? That's $6.5 million?
You're watching and listening to Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, and head coach on Off the Rails Friday. So, Mac, typically what happens is that your team would have your scouting meetings just around the new year, and a lot of talk about an up-and-coming trade deadline. You leave those meetings with your scouts in your administration offices thinking that you have some idea going into a trade deadline, and then you lose 5 games in a row, like less than a week, into the trade deadline. How would that have... might be changing the way Edmonton would think right now between now and Friday, or would it at all?
I'm sure they're a little bit nervous, and it's funny. I watching them a couple of times recently. I don't have them anywhere close to where they were last year as a team. I'm worried about Skinner. Arvidsson was a bad pickup. The kid from Buffalo was a horrendous pickup. I don't like the way they're playing, and Connor and Draisaitl can make it happen, but I mean, you look at Draisaitl and he's playing with with the two Arvidsson and what's the kid from Buffalo that went there?
Yeah, Skinner.
Skinner.
Yep.
That's Streisaitl's line. Like the last couple of games. Like, is that, are they serious? The second line? What's Skinner got for production this year? What's Arvidsson got? And they're playing with one of the best players
yeah.
in the NHL.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
It's not pretty. So I'm nervous, and Boucher has not been nearly as good. Skinner hasn't. I mean, he was real good in the playoffs last year at times. I mean, I'm with Speck. Speck can't sleep at night right now. He's so nervous about the Oilers. He's on med. I think Speck's on medication.
Oh God.
Jeez. So okay, your old stomping ground. First of all, 90,000 people. An outdoor
Which
game.
One? I was fired by seven teams. What's my old stomping ground for?
Well, okay. Well, figure it
not
out.
Not all of us got to be general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay. Okay. Stomping ground for 20. It's where an outdoor game is being played on Saturday at Doug McLean's former stomping grounds. Who would think 90,000 people and Columbus and Detroit fighting tooth and nail? And you are a huge part about. We're talking about selling the game in that hockey area for so many years and what it's come to. And should Columbus and Detroit be active in trying to leave no stone unturned, or do you not want to screw around with what they have going? Because they're both pleasant surprises right now.
You know what? It's really, I'm getting a real kick out of the outdoor game. You know, they're going to have 90,000. There's 10,000 short of a sellout, and which is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
When I think of the number of Kinsmen meetings I went to and how many mugs I got for going to speak and try to sell hockey. And it's pretty bizarre. Our business group and myself talked in the early years there, I would say in 2003, how would it ever be if we could get a game at Ohio Stadium with the Detroit Red Wings? How big would that be? And then I see it come to fruition. Not, you know, I mean, we didn't ask the league for it, but I remember Mike Humes and myself, who was my business ops guy, talking about a game like that. And to see it happen in Columbus is pretty cool. I mean, there were 700 kids playing minor hockey when I went to Columbus, and there's 8,000 kids playing minor hockey. Now, they're producing NHLers and pros almost every year. It's become a great hockey town. And if I'm Don Waddell, I'm trying. I would not want to play Columbus in the first round. I watched them play Dallas the other night, guys. This I watched them play Detroit. This is a good hockey team the way they're playing. If Merzlikins keeps it going and they add, you would not want to play them in the first round. Those two Russian kids are unbelievable the way they're playing together. Marchenko and the big 6'4" guy. They're not going to be an easy out. Werenski, you know, you guys keep pushing. Who you guys got up for defenseman of the year, Tanev or McCabe? I mean, he's right there with Quinn Hughes, guys. The way this guy works,
he's good. He's
I'm
good.
Still with Morgan. Morgan Riley for me.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I forgot about Morgan.
So, Columbus's stock going up. Ottawa's going down. No Brady Tkachuk. Last couple of games.
Think about this. Tell me what's going on. You give Perron $4 million, can't play in the league. You bring in Amodio, borderline at best. Gregor, I don't know where he is. Is he hurt? And Ullmark is like, I mean, what's going on? The only time he was happy this year was when they played in Boston and he was hugging Swayman in the morning skate. I mean, what is going on here? And I know Brady's out, Norris is out, Pinto's out. They've got to make the playoffs, this organization. They have got to make the playoffs. And right now, their best goalie is playing in Belleville. Ullmark's got to get it together here and help them.
Are they in the playoffs. Are they in desperate need of doing something between now and Friday? You think they can? You know, they're good hockey people there in Stales, but... Is he ready?
I just listed his acquisition.
Can he do something between now and Friday?
Well, I mean, I think the people in the dressing room are hoping something's going to happen. I got to believe that. because, like, you know, Kippy, you were involved in that Ottawa group. They've got to make the playoffs.
Yeah. No, it's important.
It's real important. And the way they're playing right now, and the way Columbus is playing and Detroit have been playing, it's, and the Rangers are up and down, but I mean, it's a dogfight. There's two teams going to make it out of about seven teams. And it doesn't look pretty right now. Now, Omar could change that, I think. I mean, he may be the most expensive backup goalie in the league next season, because the kid in Belleville's better than he is. Or at least he has been playing better.
Now, Doug, you mentioned the seven stops along.
This show's depressing today. I'm sorry about being so negative. I want to apologize.
You got some time still.
So you mentioned about the seven stops you've been at. Another variable, and I got to believe it still happens, is whether it's an owner or president. I know you were a president. I heard the Columbus owner very much was hands off. But boy, oh boy, they have loved, trades are sexy. They love sticking their nose into things. And you start getting this pressure about, I want to be seen that I'm doing something. The fans want to see something, whatever. I know if you're more veteran, you don't buy into that. I certainly felt that pressure, I got to say. Yeah. Does that still come into play in 2025?
I'll tell you how hands-on he was. He would phone me, said, I need you to come out and have lunch with me at Double Eagle Golf Course today. We've got to talk about the team. So I would drive out 25 minutes out to Double Eagle, which was his course. His home was right on the property. I'd go in the restaurant, beautiful restaurant. He and I, the only two people in the restaurant, and I would sit down ready for this big meeting. And 3 minutes into the meeting, he was sound asleep. And then I would get up and leave and go back to the office. That's how hands-on he was. I mean, the guy was 80.
This is,
you know, I mean,
80's young, by the way, now.
Is that what you meant by hands-on, Gord?
Well, my owner was in his 80s, and he didn't fall asleep after 3 minutes. He slept in the building.
But Mr. McConnell was a genius. He paid $80 million for the franchise, and I saw the other day it's worth $1 billion, so... He wasn't too slow.
Can you leave our watchers and listeners with the idea that this is the best league in the world and it's so run so professionally than guys sleeping on meetings?
I phoned Mr. McConnell when I heard there was, you know, a new franchise going to be in Columbus, and I phoned him and I said, I got through to his office at Worthington Industries, and I said, Mr. McConnell, Doug McLean, I'd like to talk to you about a job with the Blue Jackets. He said, you're the coach that just got fired in Florida. And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm not interested in the coach right now. This was 2.5 years before they started. And I said, no, I'd like to be the general manager. So he said, oh, okay, let's get together next week for lunch. So I have lunch with him the next week. Then Jill and I go out to his home. He just lived 5 or 10 minutes from me here in Florida. We go out to his home. And we have dinner, him and his wife and Jill and I. And at the end of the meal, he calls me aside. He said, I've decided I'm going to hire you as my general manager. But we're going up to Columbus next week. I'm going to fly. You and I are going to fly up to Columbus next week. And we're going to meet with the mayor and my son and 3 or 4 of my key business people up there. But you can't tell them I've hired you because they think I'm bringing you up there to interview. So I go up and do a fake interview, and they're all wishing me good luck at the end. And I'm thinking, I already got the job. So yeah, it's a top notch. I mean, it is the best league in the world, you know? So that was my interview process.
How would you compare him to an owner like Jeremy Jacobs in Boston? And what would maybe Don Sweeney be thinking right now going into a trade deadline on a team that is obviously underachieved, but Mac, some devastating injuries as well. Can he hang his hat on that?
Listen, I got to tell you, Mr. McConnell also phoned me at 11 o'clock one night in my office after we just lost at home to Nashville 5-0. And he said, how you doing? I said, not very good. He said, fire Dave King tomorrow morning. I said, Mr. McConnell, who's going to coach? He said, you are. So A-Race and Portsline, the two genius writers in Columbus, ripped me because I wanted to coach really bad. Mr. Mack thought I was running a peewee travel team and that I could do president, GM, and coach, you know? So So he was hands on. He wasn't always hands off. How is Jeremy feeling right now? Look, he is one of the toughest owners in the league. There's no denying that. I love listening to him in Board of Governors meetings because he was just a great resource. He was like a Lou Lamoriello type of resource in a Board of Governors meeting. But he wants to win so bad. I don't know how involved he is right now, but Sweeney would be uncomfortable right now for sure. It would not be pleasant there. And they, I don't know, do they have any chance of getting in? Any chance? It's in right now, that franchise is reeling.
Just watching him against the Leafs this week, and I'm like, they only have one game breaker right now, and that is Pastrnak.
Yeah, again last night. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know how involved Jeremy is, but I mean, Jeremy's a tough guy, and I don't know how Charlie is, his son, but who knows? But they're a non-factor right now. They really are. And I sort of said the same thing about Tampa a few months ago, but hey, I'm watching Makar this week, and I'm watching these young, great defensemen in the league. And I watched Tampa the other night, and I said, like, I keep hearing about, you know, these great young defensemen, and I'm sitting there saying, is Hedman? Who would you want ahead of Hedman of all those guys with the way he's been playing for the last month? And Bass, you know, so, I mean, I know they're young stars, but Hedman is such a horse. He's such a horse. He went second to John Tavares in that draft, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't go first. He went second.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the consensus at that time.
Well,
too.
A guy they thought might go first or second went fourth, Seth Jones. Like, you just talked earlier about Braden Schenn, you know, what you believe his his playing ability is right now, that it's not quite what a lot of other people do. Like, so it seems like he's going to go somewhere.
I didn't say I didn't like Braden Schenn. I said he reminds me of Kirk Muller. That's what I said.
No, but you also said that his play of late is not kind of commensurate with what some people are depicting,
right,
in your opinion.
Let me rephrase it. He plays like he's a third-line player. That's what he plays like.
Like, I feel we're on Dateline, and you're in the interrogation studio there. What, you want a lawyer? You want a lawyer for the rest of this?
I'm not Bruce Boudreau, but
he won't be a lawyer. Okay.
I'm trying to impress you.
But there's a level of grit out of Schenn.
He didn't answer Jones.
Okay, go ahead.
Seth Jones. Like, what is Seth Jones 2012? Like, I mean, is it like a Doug McClain would be making a call kind of thing? Or is Seth part of the problem in Chicago? Or is it like when he's out, he'll go, yeah, he gets a chance to see what he can do, you know?
Well, yeah, I haven't watched. You know what, to be quite honest, when I look and I see Chicago's playing, I don't put the game on. So
that's
I haven't
fair.
Really
no,
watched
fair.
Too much. But, you know, he was a horse in Columbus, especially early on. He was a great junior in Portland. You know, I mean, look, everybody would want Seth Jones at playoff time because you always need those type of defensemen to be around. So, yeah, I would take a chance on Seth Jones. But then again, you look at the dollars and it's frightening.
Did you catch his comments earlier this week about we aren't any better, I'm paraphrasing, we're not any better than game one. What does that do to the general manager and the coach when they hear a guy say that on his team?
I think I said that to Hitch in Columbus.
Mac, Kyle Davidson, show
he's 100% right too, Seth. He was 100% right in his comment. You know, he could have said, I want Ed here, but he was trying to be nice, you know?
Yeah,
because he wants out, obviously, and you know it's been ugly there. I mean, I watched them fire Luke Richardson, and then I watched their practice the next week, and they're doing passing on the blue lines like a Pee Wee Benham or Pee Wee B drill, you know. And I'm thinking, like, what am I watching here? We're teaching passing, anyway. Stationary passing, mind you. Not even the horseshoe.
Hey, is Vegas going to go big again? Like Thomas Hertl last year, it's like trade deadline. Okay, expected. Whoa, Thomas Hertl goes to Vegas. It just seems every year they got one in their back pocket.
Like, how many goals have they given up in the last five periods? Is it 9 or 10 goals that Vegas have given up? And I'm a little nervous about Vegas. They just look a little sluggish. They look a little long in the tooth right now. I don't have them there. I did early in the year. They were so hard to play against, but if you've watched them in the last couple of weeks, you're a little bit nervous about them. Who did they give up 5 goals to the other night?
Well, Chicago. They won 7-5, but they gave up 5 to Chicago.
That's right. That's where I saw Chicago.
Mac, before
but they look a little, I'm a little nervous about Vegas with the way they're playing right now. I am.
Anything else you want to get off your chest at all? You're good.
Well, George McPhee, when I was in Vegas on a book tour out there, I met George at a game, and he told me he thinks there's 11 teams that could win the Stanley Cup this year. And, you know, I don't know if he's wrong. I mean, I think there's some teams that are going to surprise at playoff time, and I think some people – I look at Winnipeg. I watch them, and I mean, how good are they? And is Hellebuck going to finally come through for them? He couldn't win the Four Nations. That's a hard assessment. I mean, he's been so good, and Winnipeg have been so good. What are they going to do? I mean, I don't know. They look pretty good right now. They're going to be tough to beat.
And that makes it
and
that
Washington,
much.
Washington, I mean, both those teams have got something going for them right now. You'd be scared to death to play them in the first round.
I think 11 puts a lot of teams in play here for the trade deadline. Coming up on Friday. Yeah. So before we let you go, I'm not sure. You're a guy that has really nothing to do, so I'm sure you scroll through your phone on Instagram, you know, throughout the day. Did you happen to catch our very own lovely and talented Gord Stellick on a mechanical bull this week?
I don't follow Gord.
Because I told him yesterday, I think, that, you know, it's coincidence that we have Doug McLean on, and he's got a mechanical bull story. Do you not?
Oh my God. My first training camp with the Panthers were in Greensboro, South Carolina. Dwayne Sutter, my great assistant coach, and Lindy Ruff, my great assistant coach, we go to a country bar. And of course, Lindy and Dwayne think they're cowboys, you know, because they're from Alberta. Lindy climbs aboard the mechanical bull. Lindy's on IR. He had hurt his groin on the when he was throwing off the mechanical bull. So I said to Brian Murray the next day, my first practice as head coach, Brian, Lindy's on IR. Lindy got hurt last night. Brian says, what the hell were you guys doing? I said, Lindy got thrown off a bull.
You feel better about that, Gord? That you and Lindy now have something in common?
I think you should all give thanks for my health. The fact that our setup was more like a jumpy castle. So I was on a full second, Doug. And it wasn't. And it took me an hour to get on the bull, which is videoed. And then about a 1 second ride. So anyway, at least I tried it.
I call bull on the 1 second, by the way.
Was that at the Conn Smythe dinner?
No, the Conn Smythe dinner.
Which I've never been, which by the way, tell Christine and Scott Morrison I've never been invited to.
Wow. Anyway,
just maybe mention that.
Okay, you know? Well,
I'm the only guy that's been fired by 7 NHL teams and have never been invited to that banquet.
Well, your string is still intact anyway. That's good. We'll get him next year for sure.
He'd be a little young for the head table, wouldn't he?
But no, he'd be young for the committee. He'd be young for the committee.
Yeah, now, you're too young for the committee. Well,
okay, are you gonna write another book by next year, and you and I can set up a book stand before the dinner starts, and then.
I'm getting pressured to because I think we've hit 50,000 in sales with draft day, which is
nice.
pretty not bad.
I didn't think PEI had 50,000 people.
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I think I'm sort of looking pretty seriously at it. I've been approached to do it, and you're going to love it, Gord, because I might be able to get you in there because it's, so you want to be an NHL general manager?
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, I could give you good. I mean, I can't give you longevity, but I can certainly give you a lot of different insights how it goes. So, but Conn Smythe dinner next year for sure. Okay, honestly, because it was a great dinner. It'll be the 75th, And Berkey was pissed that he didn't get invited either. So we'll seat you guys together.
Yeah. Now you need first-class flights.
I just got a text. I just barely got a text.
Yeah.
And it says, how are you? And guess who it's from? Brian Burke.
Oh.
Every 6 weeks, I get a text from Berkey, and it says, how are you? And I send back, I'm doing great. How are you doing? Nice to hear from you. And then I don't hear from him again for another 6 weeks, and I get a text, how are you? So obviously he's got me on a formatted AI type of thing, and it automatically comes to me every 6 weeks. How are you?
Don't care about the answer. Hey, once again, great job.
Gord, it's great to see you. Great to see you. I haven't heard from you in about 2 years since I did the book, and you had me on to fill an hour on your show. But anyway, I haven't seen you. I haven't heard a thing from you. And it's great to see you. And
I messaged Kippy.
I really appreciate you getting me on.
Whatever I can do to get you another book deal, you just let me know. All right? Doug McLean, everybody. Say goodbye to him real fast.
See you, Doug.
Take care, guys.
Okay.
Let's go.
We're going to go to break, and then we'll come back with some game time, and we'll read a few texts, right?
Yeah.
590, 590, yeah, if you got a few.
Texting right now. That was just the longest goodbyes ever with Doug.
Oh, it's horrible. They're horrible. Horrible. All right, let's go to break. Back after these words.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kypreos, Sam McKee in for the vacationing Justin Bourne, Gord Stellick, and it's Sammy, little game time.
Game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So three games in the ice tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs are in New York to take on the Rangers. Slight favorites at -120. The New York Rangers are underdogs on the other side of the money line, +100. Good one in Dallas tonight. The LA Kings visiting the Dallas Stars. The Kings are slight underdogs in that game, +110. Dallas Stars are -130 on home ice. And the other game on the ice tonight is the Minnesota Wild are in Colorado to take on the Avalanche. Minnesota, big underdogs in that game, +270. Colorado is a -340 favorite in that game. And I quickly wanted to bring up the favorites again, just to check in on the outright favorites for the Stanley Cup this year. We checked on this last week. Not a lot of movement. They still have the Edmonton Oilers as the favorite to win the Stanley Cup on Bet365 at +700. Winnipeg Jets come in at second at +800. Caps +900. Leafs right there with them +900, as well as the Carolina Hurricanes at +900. Any of that surprise you?
I got a $10 voucher on the Leafs. I had $10 on the Buffalo Bills and $10 on the Leafs before I left a Vegas hotel in August. So I'm 50% done. Yes.
Wow, I love that. And to go down the list here, a team that I think could be actually one of the best teams in the league, the Tampa Bay Lightning at 16-1 to win the Stanley Cup, is a very good number to me. Anyways, that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
You know what may be a very underrated move for Tampa Bay was getting Ryan McDonagh back.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought once the Tampa Bay Lightning got rid of him, he eventually ended up in Nashville, that his best years were behind him. But there's something still works.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so with McDonagh back. And, you know, they gave up Sergachev. They got rid of that contract. And quietly, McDonagh has filled that void for those guys.
You know, it's kind of thing that, to be honest, if you want to call it a mistake, let him go in the first time, but whatever. We're kind of saying, okay, we missed him more than we thought, but also they were stuck with contracts that do something. So they're big enough to bring him back. It also shows the kind of organization they have that he wants to come back. And the Sergachev trade, you know, brought you Geeky, and he's a high first-round pick. So that's the guy they think can replace Stamkos. I know Stamkos plays center on the wing, but just as far as bringing younger players in. I mean, they're Julien Brisebois had a very intelligent way about going about it, like Steve Yzerman did when he was in Tampa Bay. It's what Vegas does. It's nothing personal. But at the end, we got an odd man's got to be out. So was Ryan McDonagh. And they kind of pushed a bit, said, well, if you don't, we're going to put you on whatever, may put you on waivers or whatever the deal was. So he acquiesced. But yeah, he kind of recognized we're going to lose Sergachev. We're going to gain a lot of money. And there's intangibles. And we've lost Stamkos, who's a big presence. So there's an intangible that McDonagh brings. And you're bang on about. So I think sometimes it's overrated. Like, we got Sammy McKee. Oh, he's great in the room. Well, so is my mom. I mean it in a different way. Just about being a nice person or whatever. You know, just that kind of thing. You know, so... It to me, I was kind of lame. Like, what? Don't you want someone to go out and help you win a Stanley Cup instead of all these great guys in the room? But he's a perfect spice.
Do you know who leads the National Hockey League in plus minus this year?
Is it Ryan?
It's Ryan McDonagh. He's plus 36 in the season.
Yeah. But who cares what he's like in the room if you're plus 36?
Plus 36. Wow. Yeah. Just, you know, 19 points in 58 games. You're never going to judge him by his point production. But you look over at his career. You know, we talk about plus minus as a, you know, people, you can have the conversations on how valuable of a stat it is. When you, for your career, are plus 282, that's meaningful to me.
Yeah.
That tells me a story about the kind of hockey player you are. Plus 282 for your career. That is a crazy high number.
It's just
And then, 9 games in a row, Vasilevsky wants to keep going. And he is kind of saying, oh, okay, Connor Hellebuck and others, I used to be the guy. Right. When you talk Vezina Trophy, and he's got Vezina Trophy numbers up right now. And I don't know if they're going to hit the playoffs like this, but they really have that mojo going together in a big, big way. It was slow at the start. I mean, there were kind of similarities to them in Boston. And you thought, are they both going to be out of the playoffs? Which a lot of teams would like, you know, but there's too much talent there. Which they don't have in Boston anymore. There's still too much talent there.
I think a lot of people, myself included, were critical, surprised of them making the Steven Stamkos decision they made this offseason. And I really couldn't believe that they did it. And, you know, you think back to some of the best franchises over the years, you know, specifically the Patriots in football, who always made the cutthroat decision. And, you know, think of the St. Louis Cardinals when they got rid of Albert Pujols and they went on to win World Series after him. You know, them letting Stamkos go and then bringing in Gensel, who... You know, we watched him at the Four Nations play for USA. Was he their most dangerous forward a lot of the nights? Every playoff, this guy shows up. And he's having a fabulous year this year. He's got 27 goals already. He's a playoff performer. They've done a fantastic. Hagel's been unbelievable.
Hagel.
He's gone to another level. They're a scary team for me.
There's a guy that's been, like, plus almost 20 in the last, like, 4 weeks.
And he also says it wasn't Gensel in, Stamkos out. It was a whole bunch of things. Even... on the surface,
they're a dangerous team again.
Okay, let's talk the other one. I've talked to you before about the accordion, a very difficult instrument to find.
I didn't play it when I was a kid. I told you that.
Remember the Schmenge brothers did it, and then Donnie for Dollars in Buffalo, Johnny and Jimmy, the accordion and the drum. So anyway,
who could forget?
The Eastern Conference is like accordion, right?
And okay,
it's been going like this. Well, it's been like this for a while. What about the West? I got to find another accordion, like the West. So last night, Vancouver and Calgary lose, Utah, St. Louis, Anaheim. Like, the Anaheim-Vancouver game last night is almost a four-pointer now. Like I said, in retrospect, because they're coming. And the Canucks blew a two-goal lead. Anaheim beat them. And don't look now, the 9-team race for 8 spots is all of a sudden, according to effect, becoming maybe a 12-team race. And how does that change in the next week? The mentality of sellers now thinking they may be buyers. I mean, that's a big change over the last, I don't know, 10 or so days, Kippy.
Did your parents make you play the accordion when you were a kid?
I just only talk about my childhood to professionals. That's all. I cannot go. You know what?
I saw a bead of sweat coming down your forehead. Yeah,
they taught, you know, I learned how to play the piano. Only one problem. We didn't have a piano, right? which is an impediment. So
how did you learn?
My dad couldn't afford it. So we had like a cardboard thing. And then Inga Mraz and Mills Mraz had an apartment over in Roehampton.
Yeah.
And I would take the subway there and play piano twice a week there.
That may be one of the saddest things I've ever heard on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
I took the subway by myself. But I stopped at Garfield and got some candy on the way back at Laura Secord. So it was a positive. I didn't know I'd be pouring all this out here on a late Friday.
Honestly, we've so far off the rails here. But
honestly, it explains a lot of things right now.
The accordion's tough to explain.
But no, I'd be lying to you if I told you I was really pouring over the Western Conference standings at all times because, like you said, it was the two-team race for the eighth spot.
Take a look now.
St. Louis apparently is trading everybody, and they're 3 points out of the last playoff spot. Anaheim now is at 59 points. They're 6 points back, maybe a little bit more of a long shot. But Utah, like you said, only 2 points back.
Yeah, honestly.
It's crazy.
How about Clayton Keller? There's a quiet, really good hockey player right now. He's closing in on averaging almost 100 points this season.
And he was the one guy the old ownership group committed to. Yeah. Right? Remember, they committed to nobody except he signed on and that. So, yeah, it's nice to see. The new owner, I think, has done a good job. One thing I like, Kippy, he was very loyal to the organization. Like, I thought, some people said, this is where half the people get rinsed, right? Often someone new comes in, and this guy's been the opposite. And then who was the broadcaster? Was it Shane? Anyway, he found another job because someone got left behind in Arizona. It might have been Shane. I don't know. Whatever. But anyway, he took care of everybody. Everybody that wanted to go to Utah, he took care of. And I got a lot of respect for that. I think it speaks volumes.
I don't think there'll be many more U.S. best-on-best teams that don't include Clayton Keller on it. That's a guy that can really fire it in the net. He's been great for them. So
another reminder that this Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Gordo, what a fantastic week, right?
Well, I'm back Monday, too, I think.
You are back on Monday. We get JB middle of the week.
Tuesday.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, no. It's fun. Always enjoy.
You brought it this week, my friend.
Well, to go to the childhood accordion memories, that's a lot.
Not only that, this week we had a doctor segment where you got excellent medical advice for the rash on your ass. Right? From the mechanical bull, right?
That's right, yeah.
But that's been cleared up.
Well, Lindy Ruff had to miss games. He had a mechanical injury. Yes. I didn't go on the IR like Doug McClain explained Lindy Ruff did.
how about this for a text from somebody in Edmonton? I know that because of the 780 area code. Would you trade Stuart Skinner and Evan Bouchard to the St. Louis Blues for Jordan Binnington and Colton Parayko?
Drive them the whole way in a limo.
Yeah. Oh, you would drive Bouchard and Skinner.
Yes.
Yep.
But that's not happening.
And normally they throw a third round pick in. People always think that, a kind of lopsided trade, then you throw and a third round pick. Whatever.
Yeah. It was always Connor Brown in a second Toronto when they were talking
about
that.
We got another week for this. And it's fun. That's part of being a sports fan is you're a general manager of whatever team you like.
There's not a big market if, in fact, that Doug Armstrong is thinking about maybe moving Binnington at a very high point of his career
Does he have? He's got some kind of no-move clauses.
He's got 20. And Edmonton's on the list.
That's what I'm saying.
But I also hear he would lift it for a possibility to win a cup with Connor McDavid.
Okay. But, that's just a big lifestyle change from St. Louis to Edmonton. He's quite happy in St. Louis.
He's got 2 years left. If he was to win another Stanley Cup, he'd be in a terrific position the following year to sign a nice contract as well. But, again, what other teams? Carolina needs a goalie, but I don't think he'd lift it to go there. Detroit, could they be in the market, or is it too early for them to go get a goalie now when, Talbot's done a decent
job? No, I think you stick with Talbot.
Detroit doesn't seem quite ready right now to go get a guy like Binnington now.
No, not a goalie.
But Edmonton may.
But the fact that just Husso's salary, clearing salary, like the predates quite often a deal that you're trying to find cap space. I have no idea. Are they in on Seth Jones? I have no idea. But, whatever it may be, I just get that sense because those teams, one big move can make a huge difference. Like it's a spice on what you have. It's not the be-all, end-all. You got something good going, and you get the right kind of player there. And I mean, they haven't. They traded Philip Ronick for a first-round pick, right? You know, a year or two ago. So they were doing that more. But just, I just think the time is right if the right kind of player.
Well, once again, Gord, great job this week, and we'll see you on Monday.
How many trades this weekend?
Friday seems to be the day, right?
Okay.
Because we had JT Miller on a Friday.
So soon.
So let's keep. And the other big trade,
Brenton
was on a Friday.
Maybe we should start early on Monday.
All right.
Okay.
Our thanks to Doug McClain, as always, on Friday. Have a terrific weekend. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We're back on Monday.